Hey, Peter.
Hey.
You want to play a game?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to play three chords. I'm going to start on E flat major. I want you to then play three chords, starting with my last chord.
So let's call this three chord Monty.
Three chord Monty. I'm going to play an E flat major chord, then I'm going to play two other chords.
Okay.
You're then going to play three chords, starting with my last chord. Then I'm going to play three chords, starting with your last chord, and we'll just see where we
Okay.
Ready?
Yep. So I play for that?
Yep. Yep. Yeah, you got it. Yep. C7. Yep. Altered. Yep. You got it.
Okay. So I go.
B7. Yeah. Sharp 11.
Well, you know I like that chord.
I do. How about this, though? Yeah. Yeah. You got it. You got it. Yeah. A7, 13, flat 9. Yep.
Okay. So. See how you do that? He's listening to the root.
G7. Yeah, you got to find the root. Yeah. G7,
yep,
13,
it.
Flat 9. All right. One more.
That's an F. Oh, no. C.
Yeah. I'm Adam Manis.
And I'm Peter Martin.
And you're listening to the You'll Hear It podcast.
Music advice coming at you.
And games. That was kind of a fun game.
That was fun.
To start
three chord Monty.
Three chord Monty.
That's going to become a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how did I miss that last? It was like.
Well, to be fair, we did have a pattern established.
I got stuck in the pattern. That's a good thing for ear training. Pattern recognition is important, but you have to know when the pattern is broken.
Yeah, and you couldn't get closer than C major and F major. So, yeah, I hear you there.
Yep.
We do have a speak pipe today that is going to be the basis of... We're playing a different kind of game. I love this question. This is from our friend Zach.
Okay.
Peter, hey, Adam. It's your buddy Zach from Houston. Long time listener, long time adherent to the gentleman and ladies agreement.
Yes.
Hey, I just saw today a video posted by the great young saxophonist Lucretia Benjamin. She was playing John Coltrane's solo on Giant Steps, and it got me thinking that's sort of like the definitive tenor sax solo, the kind of signals, okay, you're a serious saxophone player. And I thought, what are those definitive solos on each instrument? So, for example, on trumpet, my main instrument, I would say that Clifford Brown's solo on Cherokee is like the solo. And for maybe alto sax, maybe Charlie Parker on Coco. Also on the Cherokee changes, maybe.
We're going to have some disagreements on this one, Zach.
And of course, Train on Giant Step. I don't know what it is on piano.
I know what Peter's going
to
say.
I'd be curious to hear what y'all think the definitive piano solo is. And by definitive, I mean to demonstrate that you've got the technique of a pro. And maybe for other instruments, too. I don't know, maybe even trombone. Would that be?
Oh, maybe gosh. For trombone, probably not. It's a great idea, right? It's a little nice thought experiment.
Yeah.
And Zach, honestly, I'm feeling two of your artists, but I'm going to choose a couple of different solos from them.
Right. So you came up with your own list of this.
I have my own list of what I think is the definitive. And I'm judging this, Zach, not by like any sort of technical aspects, but how often I hear young musicians play these solos, transcribe them, quote them in their solos, just as you were talking about Lakeisha Benjamin, who's amazing, by the way. I'm gauging by sort of the what I see as popular solos.
First of all, let's just say, here at the You'll Hear It podcast, and Open Studio in general,
yeah,
we never try to put our foot in the sand and put a foot in the sand, line in the sand.
Draw a line
and
in
say,
our foot.
We would never do something like,
we never
these are
draw
the 10
a line
greatest albums. This is the most, we don't do that kind of
we
thing.
We would never, ever do that.
No, so I'm just looking up definitive of a conclusion or agreement done and reached decisively and with authority. Well, we definitely got authority. We have trouble being decisive sometimes.
Yeah, there's and some of these might be controversial, but I don't think so. I think a lot of these you could make an argument for they're the definitive solo on their instruments, or at least extremely influential.
Are we gonna go
influential in most circles?
Yeah, so influential in
modern circles. We'll say modern
kind of popular four players of that instrument.
Yes,
not necessarily the definitive jazz album for the GP general public.
These are solos. If you play any of these instruments,
you bedhead know it.
You definitely have to at least check them out and probably transcribe them. We'll start first with Zach's initial discovery of Giant Steps on the tenor saxophone.
That's the definitive.
I mean, it doesn't get any more definitive
that's
than this solo.
One.
We'll skip ahead a little bit. We could all sing it, right?
Right. But if I were to say Sonny Rollins on St. Thomas Live at the Vanguard is the definitive, would you argue with me on that?
Sonny Rollins Live at the Vanguard, St. Thomas?
St. Thomas?
Did
you play that?
From Saxophone Colossus.
Saxophone Colossus. Saxophone Colossus. I guess it's not the definitive because I forgot which album it's on.
Yeah. You could make an argument. There's a couple of Wayne Shorter solos you could probably make an argument
but
for.
But it seems like John Cole.
It's probably Giant Steps, yeah.
So let's put a check mark by that one.
Now,
let's
Charlie Parker,
on that one.
He mentioned Coco, which is the changes to Cherokee. All right, so it's not Coco, but it is Charlie Parker for the alto saxophone.
Great. This is the one, the version, too. There's a lot of them. Like, that's played a lot, you know. Sue me. I love Charlie Parker.
Peter knows every note.
Okay. Is that chorus perhaps, like, the most definitive
That's what I'm saying.
Blues chorus.
For certain.
For everything?
Yeah.
For bebop? I don't know. For saxophone?
You want to start learning bebop, you start with that first.
Yeah.
Actually, this whole solo.
Just saxophone. The whole thing is. So much you can learn on this.
Charlie Parker, now's the time.
And I think that this, you know, there's always a lot of confusion with this because it's been repackaged so much. I don't even know what original album this was on.
Confusion for us even.
Yeah. Well, this is the one where they play two choruses. He plays two choruses on the melody. There's a slower version that's really good that I wouldn't say is the definitive. Not because it's not as good. It's just not as definitive. If that, you know, I don't know. Like this one, people have coalesced around for all the right reasons, I think.
Yeah.
There's so much there. Like the way that he phrases on the melody, the tempo, the slower one is good too, but it's just a different thing, you know?
Yeah.
The way he leaves the melody on that second chorus and starts like doing some sort of pre-improv foreshadowing.
Yep.
Just the swing factor. I mean, but I could see some people being like, well, why is this any better than Coco? Why is this any better than his great solo on Just Friends from Bird with Strings?
Also would have been a top choice.
Those two,
actually.
That's what's hard because Parker was very consistent and concise. And I mean, part of it was like the recording length, but I mean, like the amount of definitive bebop information, just music, blues information he put in each solo that you could pick a bunch. But if you're going to pick one, I would say I would agree.
Yeah. And then
I concur.
Yeah. For trumpet, there's so many. We could have used West End Blues or So What by Miles Davis. But I agree, Clifford Brown has one of the most iconic solos. I don't agree it's Cherokee, although that is a great choice.
Wait,
Zach.
We might have our first controversy here.
Well, Cherokee's great. And it's a great solo. It could be either one of these, but I hear this one talked about a little bit more.
Ah, cool.
Talked about because of its singability, because of how easy it is to learn and how iconic these ideas are. This is Sandu, Clifford Brown, on the trumpet.
The effortless swing and blues. Max Roach. Harold Land or Sonny Rollins? I should know that. I want to say Harold Land.
Yeah, probably.
Uh,
It's such a perfect solo. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
And it just continues.
It's so good all the way through. Got a couple of blues on this list. Notice.
The balance of the phrases, the harmonic, you know, little delving into some interesting harmonic things.
And that's it. Two choruses.
Learn that.
Learn that. It's such an easy one to learn, and you learn so much about music from transcribing that solo. I think it's a little more accessible than the Cherokee solo just because of the tempo, obviously.
Yeah.
But he does go into those double time phrases, which are not easy on like the piano. Some of those are tough to play. Yeah.
So I'm going to disagree.
Okay.
As great as I think that is,
oh boy.
I think the what you, because you mentioned West End blues. Now, had I not, you had not put that on my mind in terms of being the definitive trumpet solo, because I feel like if someone were to wake me up in the middle of the night and say, what's the most definitive jazz solo ever played? I would probably blurt out Louis Armstrong West End blues.
Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit of that.
Because
just the intro, right?
Yeah. And
or the whole
plays
thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah, I get it. This is up there for sure. They're both.
Yeah, and I mean.
Also, like, I think So What? I'm talking about, like, when you hear that people being able to just recall every single note and nuance of a solo, that's what I'm sort of, my criteria.
Yeah, and maybe I get sucked into, like, a good story in terms of, like, I always thought about and sort of learned it and heard it described from the elders as, like, really a defining, like an opening up of modern jazz
for
with
sure.
this.
There's
so this
no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, the influences, you know, King Oliver, of course, and others in New Orleans and beyond on Louis Armstrong, but like the, this being the first great mod, and what is this, like 1929
yeah, it's
or something crazy?
How early this is and things.
So, I mean, maybe it's not the definitive trumpet solo. Maybe this is just the definitive jazz solo.
It probably is the
time.
Definitive
we
jazz
solo. We
can
do that,
solo.
And then we can still have the Clifford Brown.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, people going to be like, you don't have anything from the aughts or the 2020s.
Well, not yet. But I mean, there's plenty.
Hello.
There's plenty we can go to there. But I can totally see it. All of these, by the way, are completely subjective. So speaking of the aughts.
Although the definition of definitive is totally objective.
It's true. I know. Well, that's impossible, though. Here's one from the aughts. This is the guitar solo. And this might be a little controversial.
Oh, this was you had mentioned a wild card might be making it.
All the kids, I feel like, know this solo.
Right. And by kids, you're talking about people in their 30s and 40s.
People, millennials, mostly. This is Kurt Rosenwinkel.
Yeah.
Zhivago. I can't think of a more influential instrumentalist of his generation on his instrument. Than Kurt Rosenwinkel.
Whoa,
I mean,
big words, big words.
I mean, can you think of someone in the last 25 years who has like influenced more guitarists? I mean, Pat Metheny before him,
right.
And you have, of course, like
no, he's definitely
Mark Whitfield Russell Malone and a handful of like amazing
Peter Bernstein,
like so many great players. Obviously, Schofield, like these legends. But man, everybody,
Jimi Hendrix,
everybody's trying to get
their
Kurt stuff together,
that's
and
true.
This is the original,
hugely influential.
Mm. It's a great composition too. Yeah. I love this melody.
So are you saying the definitiveness was the intro solo or what he's gonna do?
The intro solo for sure. I think this composition also is, but the guitar solo. This is like a, I love this solo too. Yeah. Let's skip ahead a little bit so we can hear just a little bit of the solo. Let's start it. Killing, man.
It's killing.
Yeah, so obviously this could be super controversial and argue that there's, I mean, I love Grant Green too. Right. You know, my favorite solos. West Montgomery. There's a ton of great ones, but I think you could put this up here.
Yeah. So, and I think it begs the greater question, which could be interesting fodder for a future episode perhaps, which is, I think it's harder now, and by now I would even say back this century, like to around 2000 or so, or maybe a little bit later up till now, to have a definitive solo.
It's
like
tougher.
Like, because think about like Christian McBride. What's his definitive solo? What's the definitive great Christian McBride?
There's just
solo?
A lot of great moments, aren't there?
Yeah.
But what it's is hard the great, to say because it hasn't been totally fleshed out.
Yeah.
Yet. He's still.
Or Wynton Marsalis. What's the definitive?
In his 40s,
yeah. Like, why is it easier for us to say, like, with Clifford Brown, maybe there was two or three.
Not because the
but
book
we are
is
pretty
closed on those folks.
Right.
You know, from the way back.
Right.
I think.
No.
You know, I mean, for me.
But are people coalescing around albums and particular, or like, because there's so much more available, and you can go see Kurt Rosenwinkel, and like, a bunch, you can see what he did last week on a Europe tour on YouTube.
I think it depends on your generation, right? Yeah. So I know for a lot of people, Peter, like they mentioned, your record with Joshua Redman, the Live at the Vanguard, your solo on St. Thomas. People mentioned Brad Meldow's solo on things like When It Rains or All the Things You Are.
That's going back a ways, though.
It is going back. But
that's
I'm saying, like, you kind of have to, right? Like, so if we think
that's
of,
what I'm saying. Like, and we'll talk about this on another episode because
it
would be
interesting.
But even
more recently, Corey Henry's solo on Lingus, you could say, is a definitive solo. Which is a live thing, right? You could, I mean, there's a ton of things with Jacob Collier or whatever, you know, the more modern players that you could talk about.
Yeah.
But it's harder. It is a lot harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun though. I don't think it's a right or wrong. Everything shouldn't, there's never going to be a need for another West End blues solo. And there's never going to be another, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, and Kurt Rosenwinkel, I think the influence that he has, we haven't talked about him enough because it's not that we love guitar here, but I mean, something I really learned from what? Was that a smirk? Will you be smirching the guitar instrument?
No, I'm just...
You're a guitarist.
I'm second-guessing my pick
of
such a modern thing now that we've talked about
I think
it.
It's good.
Because it is so controversial.
No, but this is...
Because you can put tons of Pat Metheny solos up for grabs for this one as well.
Right.
Which actually we have.
And I think the guitar is such a great... Like, guitarists are... Like, it's such a rich tapestry within the jazz world. Probably more diverse in terms of different stylistic directions than piano. Unless you talk about keyboards and stuff. It's almost like if you talk about greatest keyboard solo, definitive keyboard solo, that's hard. Because are you talking about some Joe Zawinul stuff on Weather Report? Are you talking about Chick Corea?
The Electric Band.
Yeah, or Keith Jarrett's solo piano, or, you know, Willie the Lion Smith. So, I mean, it's like...
There's a ton.
And that's kind of with guitar. Like, you talk about Pat Metheny, Wes Montgomery.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. So. All right, here's one. Speaking of Pat Metheny, our most definitive bass solo also might be controversial. But
I was going to say, I thought you were going to do a Pat Metheny. You're going to replace
this. Is a Pat Metheny recording, but it's Jaco Pastorius, Bright Sized Life.
Yeah. Is this the most definitive Pat Metheny record?
It might be.
Probably.
It might be. And again, we're leaving out Ray Brown.
Right. I love how we say, like, the definitive recording. Be like, the definitive greatest recording? Definitive most popular?
Let's get ahead.
Influential.
Let's do the bass solo here.
Oh, this is Jaco. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is...
Mm-hmm.
knows how to craft a song that's fun to improvise over. Tell you that.
Wouldn't it be fun to play in Pat Metheny's band doing all this stuff? It'd be amazing.
This would be unicorns dancing through a meadow.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great solo.
So are we saying this is the definitive knuckle solo?
No, we're not saying anything. We're not saying it. We're taking it all back.
Definitive electric solo?
And this is the problem when we go with, Zach, when you go with like, this is the definitive anything, it's so hard to nail one down. Because now I've got about a million like Paul Chambers, Ray Brown, Oscar Pettiford, Charles Mingus solos going through my
Jimmy
brain.
Blanton,
Scott LaFaro solos that, you know, I mean, hell, there's like... Even like
Christian McBride,
Larry Grenadier, like Ruben Rogers. There's a ton of folks who I have their solos that I love that we're leaving out. It's tough.
Right. But I mean, definitive. So I would say, I don't even know if this is the most definitive, greatest, or most influential Jaco solo. Because isn't like four basses, isn't Donna Lee?
Is that a solo or is that just a
head? It's him solo. Yeah, play it. Yeah, exactly.
I thought about Donna Lee, honestly. Yeah. All right. Here's for drums. None of this matters. We're ditching this episode. None of this matters. None of it's definitive. It's all subjective.
Zach is our buddy, and he said y'all in his question. That gets you onto the pod just with that, because that takes me back down south.
All right, here we go. Drums.
Okay.
Philly Joe Jones. Two bass hit.
Okay. Ooh. Now I'm with you. Definitive. Jazz drum solo.
This is a jazz drum solo. You gotta know.
Ooh, he's already soloing too.
I think
love it.
Actually, I take it all back. These are definitive. You gotta know all these solos.
This one is, yeah. Snare drum. Hello.
All the playing here, man.
Hey. This is very influential solo.
Yeah, it really is.
Greg Hutchinson,
there's a couple
I'm
of, I think
Brian Blade, I'm looking at you.
A couple of Art Blakey solos, I think you could say could be up here on this list for sure. But it's hard to argue
this
with this one.
You've done good on this. Yeah, definitive jazz solo. Short and sweet too. On top of everything else, we play some more.
Hey!
Woo! Snare chops much?
You could argue maybe Tony Williams playing all throughout Nefertiti could be up here as influential.
Yeah, but if somebody said, I don't really know much about jazz, but play me a definitive jazz solo. If you threw that on, it'd be like,
it would
it'd be
Philly,
killing.
It'd be some kind of Philly Joe, Art Blakey, something.
Yeah.
It'd be something.
Good call.
Let's go out on the most definitive piano solo. I think if you're a longtime listener and a longtime open studio person, you probably know what this is going to be.
Yeah.
If someone says, play a jazz piano solo that is digestible, singable, easy to learn a bunch from.
Yeah.
What would you say, Peter?
Well, before we say that, I've got some business we have to attend to. Sorry. Do you know about something called the gala?
Oh, the gentleman and ladies agreement. I do perk up. Sorry.
We haven't
mentioned...
you were
going to start talking about numbers.
No. This is important because we've swayed
P&L
away from
reports.
This.
I don't want to.
No. Yeah. We swayed away from this. We gave you a little break on this, but that does not mean that the agreement has not continued. I don't know if you've been checking out the comments. Folks have been agreeing with just a simple gala. Now, you might ask, what does gala stand for? Well, it stands for a beautiful celebration in an uptight hotel ballroom, usually.
We don't want to go to.
With business casual attire and a pressure to raise money. No, this is G-A-L-A. Side note, Adam and I have been auctioned off at galas many times.
Several times.
Super embarrassing. Okay, gala stands for the Gentlemen and Ladies Agreement. Well, you might say, I am neither a gentleman nor a lady. Yes, you are. If you listen to this podcast, you are one of those or something else. It doesn't matter. You choose what you want, but you just have to agree, right?
You do.
And what are they agreeing to?
You're agreeing. Wait. I don't know. Explain it to me again.
I threw you the ball. Okay. The agreement is that we will provide you with a beautiful, high-quality podcast.
That we will
Which,
do.
Obviously, you made it all the way to this point. So you agree.
Was it beautiful and high quality though?
But unlike most podcasts, there's a fallacy, there's a misunderstanding out there in the world that podcasts are free. They are not free. Your payment is to go to the YouTube channel right now, even if you're listening to this somewhere else, and subscribe. And then maybe even put in the comments if you want to go next level, gala, or agreement adhered to. Or if you want to get more flowery with your verbiage, you may do that. But that is what the agreement is. That is your payment. We give you the pod. You subscribe to us, which feeds our egos. It feeds the algorithm. It really makes the world go round. makes the world go round. Anything else we need on the gala?
No, that's pretty much
it. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just search. You'll hear it. And we will come up, our beautiful faces and our beautiful channel. You might want to check us out there.
Now, for the most definitive piano solo of all time, we're going out on this.
Softball.
Till next time.
You'll hear it.